We are in the Advent season. And we do have free, if you'd like, these Advent devotions. Advent started November 29th. I think this is a four-week one right here. You can catch up. You can take it. But this is a Advent devotion that you can take. We have them in the Next Step corner. We have them at the welcome table. But if you're interested in this, it's interactive. You can do it with your family. You can do it by yourself. But pick one up and do some reflecting on the meaning of the season this year, because that's what Advent is about. Advent is about just thinking about exactly what the Christmas season is all about. For instance, why is it so important? Is Jesus who he really said he is? Or maybe you're in the camp that Jesus is the reason for the season. He is why I celebrate Christmas. I believe that no matter where we are at in our walk with Christ, because every one of us is on a journey in life, and every one of us is on a journey with Jesus at some point in time. And I believe that no matter where you're at, whether we fully agree and believe everything that he says and does, wholeheartedly sold out for Jesus, maybe we struggle with a little bit and we have some questions, or maybe we're like, I'm not really too sure. I need some concrete evidence that Jesus is real. Here's what I say to all of those, the whole gamut. Where you are at, I believe that Jesus wants you to know it's okay. It's okay where you are at, because he will meet you where you are at, and he will begin to show you the things that are important to you, the things that matter to you, because what's important to us is important to Jesus. And I know oftentimes we think that God has a timetable for everything, and I do believe he does, but I also believe that he is patient and he is waiting, and he does things on our time. He doesn't rush us, he doesn't push us, he doesn't force himself upon us, but he does point things out to us, and if we're paying attention to that, we'll see it. Last week, Nathan Flieger started this Advent series talking about the joy that can be found in Jesus. That Jesus is good news who brings great joy. But we have to be intentional on choosing that joy to be found in him. Because it's not always easy, is it, to find joy in all things? It's not always easy. I'm going to be sarcastic here for a minute. My favorite Bible verse is in the book of James when he says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulation. Really? Well, what I think he's saying is when you come through that trial and you look back and see where Jesus is, you can be joyful that he helped you. But finding joy in all things is something we have to be intentional about. And here's what it does. When we're having a rough time and we're saying, God, I need to find something. Can you show me something good about this? What that does is, if you're honest and sincere about it, it creates a stronger bond between us and our Creator. And you will find joy. Sometimes I'm having a really, really rough week, like just stressful things are going on, but spiritually, I feel good. And I know that's God's Holy Spirit saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. I got tomorrow covered for you, Chip. That's true joy. That's spiritual joy. And so today, we are going to be talking about the purpose of Christmas. What makes Christmas so special? And for me, Christmas time is my most favorite time of the year. So, you know, we come upon Halloween and we have a big party here and trick-or-treating, and our family's like, what's going to be our theme? And we're going to get all dressed, we're going to do all this. And my daughter Rebecca usually figures out the theme for us, and we do it. But in my mind, I'm like, let's just get through this one because Christmas is coming. November, I'm already mapping out the lights and things in the yard and what I'm going to get and what I'm going to add. And then like the week before Thanksgiving, I start setting stuff out, and Kim and the kids are sipping hot cocoa through a frosted window watching Dad. No, it's not like that. In my mind, it's like that, but it's not. Benjamin helps me with the lights. We get stuff set up. But then Thanksgiving comes, you know, and we enjoy that time. It's a holiday season, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, family, joy. And Thanksgiving weekend, Kim sets up the tree and she puts out the nativity set in the house. And we create an atmosphere of joy in our home. And one of the things that I think factors into that is the fact that we're a family that we do everything together. We enjoy doing things together. And so we make it a family event. But really, really, if we dig a little bit deeper, I can tell you what really creates that atmosphere of joy in our home. Because we understand what the purpose of Christmas really is. It's the birth of our Savior. It's when Jesus came to the earth to reveal God's love for mankind. And we should celebrate that. Christmas signifies an event that happened 2,000 years ago in a tiny little nation called Israel, in a tiny little town called Bethlehem. Billions of people around the world take time off of work around Christmas. They have parties, they go to celebrations, they take the day off of work, they spend time with friends and family. Sometimes people that don't even go to church, they look forward to going to a Christmas Eve service. There's just something special about this time. We celebrate and we enjoy the company of others around the theme of Christmas. But what really makes this a special holiday is at the very first Christmas, God sent a host of angels to announce the birth of his son. And I think that's incredible. And when Jesus was born, there was a group of shepherds tending to their sheep at night, and an angel appeared to them to announce the birth of Christ. And I'm going to read it. We're going to read a passage from Luke chapter 2. And actually, Nathan touched on this passage a bit last week. And this is going to kind of be our theme for Advent, is this chapter. And we're going to look at some different factors within this story. Next week, we're going to go around the bend. We're going to look at a couple of other important people in the Bible that kind of tie into all of this. But sometimes I think that when we're reading the Gospels, we just kind of gloss over this story because we know it, you know, and so we just read it. But when was the last time you actually meditated on this story and thought about it? Like when I read the Bible, I put myself in that picture. I like to just, what really happened and what was it looking like? And if I was a shepherd, how would I react to this? Or if I was, you know, a religious leader, how would I react to this? So let's just read Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. See, again, what in the world, right? But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah of the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see what this thing has happened that the Lord just told us about." Now, I don't know about you, but there is a lot that I could spend time thinking about in that passage. From this one announcement, we're going to look at three purposes that we can find for the reason for Christmas. The first purpose is Christmas is a celebration. Christmas is to be celebrated. It's a party. What was the announcement the angel said? I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Nathan taught on this last week, so I'm going to kind of just touch on it a little bit again today, but if somebody said to you, I've got some good news that will bring great joy to everybody around you, would you say, that's not for me? I mean, who would not want that? If somebody said that to me, I'm in. What is it? I'm in. Good news, great joy, I'm in. Think about it. At Christmas time, we have more parties than any other time throughout the year. And isn't it ironic that at most of those parties, the guest of honor is not invited? Think about that. Christmas is a birthday party for Jesus. That's what it is. And I don't want to shock you, and I don't want to alarm anybody, and I don't want to throw anybody kind of off kilter here, but God loves to party. Did you know that? God loves to party. He loves to celebrate. He loves to rejoice. There are several passages in the Bible, all throughout Old and New Testament, about the angels rejoicing. That's a celebration. But my most favorite is in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus said, all the angels in heaven rejoice over one person who puts their faith in Jesus. Can you imagine that? Everybody in here who considers themselves a believer in Jesus, when you said, Jesus, I want you into my life, and you made that change, all of heaven erupted. Think about that. Last night, we gave a call. We at the concert, you want to ask Jesus into your life, and several people raised their hands and said that prayer. When I got home last night, I thought of the rejoicing in heaven that took place. All the angels in heaven rejoice over one person. So, this tells me two things. We are important to God, and God celebrates over each person. He celebrates us. He loves us. If we are that important to God, He really, really loves us. The most famous Bible verse of all times tells us that in John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. How often do we hear out in the world that Christianity and God is a religion of judgment, when that is the farthest thing from the truth? This right here, John 3:16, is part of the good news. The good news to the world. Jesus was sent as a message of love. That's why He came to earth. The Christmas season is God telling us that He loves us. And the thing is, God's love is not based on what we do. It's based on who He is. You see, God is love. He is love. His love is based on His character. There is nothing we can do. It's not based on our performance or how we act or the things that we do. There is nothing we can do, nothing that can stop God from loving us. Let me put this into a little bit of perspective for you. If I was constantly reaching out to somebody, you know, a friend, dude, hey, you want to go hang out? They text me back, no. Hey, you want to go have lunch? They don't even respond. I see him. Hey, man, let's go do something this week. Absolutely not. You, Chip, get away from me. But I keep doing it over and over again. Sooner or later, I'm going to say, I guess I get the hint. This guy doesn't want to hang out with me. Right? Maybe even he gives me, you know, like, we'll just say the finger, this finger, points at me. Get away from me. You know, right? Just back off, man. Leave me alone. I'm not going to want to hang out with somebody that doesn't want to hang out with me. As human beings, I think it's legitimate. I mean, why would you want to hang out with somebody that doesn't like you? But God is not like that. God will continue to text you, continue to ask you, continue to drop hints, continue to point things out to you, continue to follow you around until he gets your attention. And when you do, it's up to you. And even if you say no, 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 he'll never give up on you, ever. That's the unconditional love of the Father. Our human minds cannot fathom how much love God is capable of giving. And if God loves us in this manner, it means we never have to face anything without his love being a part of it when he is a part of our lives. So if you're thinking, I cannot take another day of bad news, coronavirus, politics, social injustices, I can't take it. Well, you don't have to, because God's love is with us every minute of the day, and he will bring the peace and the understanding that we need to see through these difficult things. He will help us navigate through all of this stuff that we've got to wade through out in the world. So the second part, the second purpose for Christmas is salvation. Salvation. When the angel announced Jesus' birth, he said, "The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem." You know, when the religious leaders heard of this announcement, they should have picked up on the Messiah, because they had been waiting for their Messiah to come to earth. But they chose not to believe in it, because it wasn't the way they thought it was going to happen. The Savior has been born today. You know, many people go through life thinking that they do not need a Savior. But here's the deal. Sin is a little three-letter word that can destroy a life. Sin is the cause of most of our issues. Maybe it's not our sin. Maybe it's somebody else's close to us, and we are caught up in it. It's a fallen world. It's a broken world. It's a world full of sin. We don't always put it together, but sin is missing the mark. In archery, when you don't hit the bullseye, it's a sin. That's what that means. Sin is falling short. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And just so you don't have to take my word for it, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this: "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." Those of us that call ourselves believers in Jesus, every sin that I've done and every sin that I have yet to commit has been forgiven by Jesus. See, sin causes us to be separated from God. This is why we need a Savior. This is why we need Jesus. Because no matter how much I mess up, Jesus says, "Listen, Chip, you know, there's this thing inside of me. It's called my conscience." And when you're not living a life with Jesus, sometimes that conscience gets seared. And then you begin making excuses for things. And, you know, it's okay if I did that. It's no big deal. But my conscience, in connection with the Holy Spirit, says, "You really messed up. You should go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Talk to God, ask for forgiveness. You know, whatever it is you have to do." And God says, "Chip, I love you, man. You are forgiven. I care for you. Don't wallow in that mess up anymore, up here or in here. Let's move on. I'll help you through this. That's a savior. Oftentimes, and here's the thing. Jesus says, I don't want you feeling guilty. I don't want you doing life alone. I don't want you separated from God. I want to set you free from all the things that are dragging you down. Oftentimes, we look for salvation in all of the wrong things. We have this emptiness. We feel like things aren't right. We feel disconnected. We just don't feel right. And so we fill it with stuff: money, relationships, career, addictions. And this is why we go through life still feeling frustrated. This is why we feel like everything is just spinning in circles and we're not making it in life. See, salvation is a gift. It's a free gift, and there is nothing we can do to earn it. It's as simple as asking Jesus into our lives. That's it. And quite honestly, it would be the best gift anybody could receive on Christmas. The best. And trust me, when you invite Jesus into your life, that is when the true adventure begins. Life is an adventure with Jesus. I want to hang out with a Savior that likes to party, make life enjoyable. So the first purpose of Christmas is a celebration. I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The second purpose of Christmas is salvation. The Savior has been born today. And then the third purpose is reconciliation. Reconciliation. In that passage, I'm just going to read verse 14. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. That's reconciliation. That peace that we have with God when He is pleased with us because we begin living a life with His Son and for His Son. That is reconciliation. Jesus draws us closer to our Father. When there is peace between us and our Creator. Reconciliation is when a relationship is restored. You know, when two people decide that they cannot get along anymore, friendships, marriages, relationships, whatever, but then they are intentional on restoring the peace in that relationship, the harmony between two people. That's reconciliation. Think about our nation right now. It seems as if some reconciliation is needed for quite a few groups of people. Honestly, until we realize that social media does more harm to our families and our friendships, we will never see things restored to where they were just 5 years ago. Social media has ruined us as people, I think. We don't have connection with people. We say things to other people through the guise of a keyboard that we would never say to their face. And think about this. There will never be peace in our nation until there is peace in our communities. There will never be peace in our communities until there is peace in our families. And there will never be peace in our families until there is peace with individuals. And there will never be peace with individuals until we have peace with our Creator. Amen. Amen. We can't change our community until we change our relationships. Yes. And the church should be making that change. There will never be peace in individuals until we invite Jesus into our lives. One of the many titles that Jesus has that's given to Him in the Bible is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace. We'll never have peace with other people around us until we are at peace with God. Honest to goodness peace. Our relationships with others is a reflection of our relationship with God. If everybody around you is frustrating you, I got news for you. It's not everybody around you. And if you call yourself a believer and you're frustrated with everybody around you, do some self-examination and find out where your relationship with God is. How close are you to God? How connected are you to Him? Are you reading His Word? Are you talking to Him? Are you praying? Do you have a connection with Him? Or does some reconciliation need to be made? You know, the opposite of peace is war. When we're not at peace with God, we are actually fighting Him. We are spiritually at war with our Creator if we are not at peace with Him. There is spiritual unrest within us because there's no peace with our Creator. And oftentimes we don't understand why what is going on within us is happening. But it's a spiritual unrest is what it is. And Jesus, so how do we find peace with God? Well, it's Jesus. He's the one. Jesus is the bridge. He is the one who forgives us of our sins and restores our relationship with God the Father. That's why He came to this earth. And again, just so you're not taking my word for it, look at this in Romans 3. 22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That doesn't get any more clearer than that. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. No matter who they are. It doesn't matter who you are. This goes back to what we said earlier in this message. There is nothing that you can do to separate the love that God has for you. There is no amount of outrunning God's love that you can do. Black, white, Asian, Muslim, Buddhist, homeless, addicted, messed up. It doesn't matter. The second you put your faith in Jesus, you are made right with God. He is now pleased with you, and His peace will supersede all frustrations and hang-ups that life throws your way. All the worry and anxiety and shame and guilt and all that stuff that drags us down is replaced with forgiveness, peace, and a purpose in your life will now be made clear with Jesus being a part of it. More than anything, God wants all people to be reconciled with Him. This is the greatest gift that can be given and received during the Christmas season. So I'll wrap it up real quickly with this. Three purposes of the announcement of the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world, can be summed up like this. God loves you, and He loves to have a good time with you. He loves having a good time with you. Jesus came for the salvation of all people, no matter who they are. No matter. And Jesus is here to reconcile us with our Creator, God the Father. So what I want to do is I want to challenge you here. I want to lay out a challenge and see if you'll accept it. I want to challenge everyone here to spread the message of the good news of the true meaning of Christmas in the next couple of weeks. I believe that if you say to yourself, first of all, I believe there's people that just popped into your head that you said, they need Jesus. That means the Holy Spirit said, this is the person I want you to tell this to. Because here's the deal, guys. You never know who may actually be waiting to receive some good news with great joy. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much. I thank you that we are able to be in a season right now, God, where we can freely worship you, we can freely speak of you. And I just pray, Lord God, that as we're in the midst of this Advent season, God, that we as a church family, together, take part in spreading good news that brings great joy. It could be as simple as inviting somebody to a Christmas Eve service, sending them a link to a sermon that you think might speak to them, telling them that God loves them. I just thank you, Jesus, for all the different ways and all the different ideas that you give us to share your good news with others. And as we head into a time of worship, I pray that those people who had a face pop into their head, I pray that you would give them the most outrageous, creative idea to share the good news to that person in such a way that we would say, that is whacked out. But that is exactly what's going to speak to that person's heart. I thank you for that, Jesus. And we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen.